The reading's from the book of Ephesians, and we're reading chapter 3 and verses 7 to 13. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory.
When it was built for an international exhibition in 1889, the structure was called monstrous. The citizens of the city demanded it be torn down. Yet from the first moment, its architect took pride in it and loyally defended it. He knew it was destined for greatness. Today, it is one of the architectural wonders of the world. The architect, of course, was Alexandre Gustave Eiffel. In the same way, Jesus is building a structure, the church. The people, not the building, the church. And it looks rather unimpressive. The New Testament foundation is the apostles. And that's what we're thinking about today. The apostles built on the Old Testament foundation of the prophets. We all look very flawed, don't we? But Jesus believes in the project, just like Eiffel with his tower. We're continuing then this week the theme of Paul's apostleship, that Paul was chosen to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. After church last Sunday night, Becca and I watched Simon Sharma's The Story of the Jews on BBC Two. One of the things Sharma asserted there was that Paul wanted Christianity to be a global religion. So he invented the idea that Jesus was God. This means Paul was a charlatan. He was a liar. He was power mad. He gave his life for the sake of his creation, this world religion. Do the facts back this up? Does the Paul who wrote Ephesians come across as a power-mad liar? I don't think so. Paul's concern was not to create a religion, but to serve God's creation, the church. The church is absolutely central in Ephesians. God chooses and saves the church in chapter 1. And Paul loves the church. He's not a charlatan. He genuinely had an experience of God. He prays for the church. He longs for the best for God's people. He reminds them how God made us alive in Christ when we were dead in sin. He gave us spiritual life. He gave us relationship with himself. And perhaps the glory of Ephesians that Bridget was showing us earlier is Paul's teaching about the unity of the church. The great division in New Testament times was between Jews and Gentiles. They were literally at war. Rome occupied Jerusalem. And in Christ, as all believers put their trust in Christ, God creates one new humanity. He destroys the dividing wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles. And this is Paul's great purpose in chapter 3. He is called by God to be an apostle, a messenger. He is entrusted with the gospel for the sake of the unity of the church. He didn't, of course, mean unity at any cost. He didn't mean unity at the cost of truth. Paul meant that as we put our faith in Christ and make him king, then we are united with all believers, whatever their social or ethnic background. He didn't mean unity at any cost. I agree with Charles Spurgeon, who said, "To remain divided is sinful. Did not our Lord pray that they may be one, even as we are one? However, truth alone must determine our alignments. Truth comes before unity. Unity without truth is hazardous." So Paul does not teach unity at the expense of truth. He teaches unity in the truth. Today then, three headings. Paul's apostleship was a gift of grace, was to make plain the mystery, and was a life of suffering. Those headings are on your service sheets. Firstly then, Paul's apostleship was a gift of grace, verses 7 and 8. What did Paul deserve from God? As a Jewish rabbi, Paul had led an exemplary life. He was upstanding. As a Christ hater, he'd become a murderer. He murdered Christians. What would you do with such a man? How would you feel if a notorious persecutor of Christians suddenly turned up at our church? I think we'd be tempted to say, at the very least, that we needed to be cautious, don't you? I don't think we'd be offering him the pulpit. And yet, this is how it was for Paul. The Christ hater, the Christian hater, became a Christ lover, a lover of Christians, and he did turn up in churches and expect to be given the pulpit. Verse 7. "I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace." Grace means God loving us, blessing us, even though we don't deserve it one little bit. That's what grace means. Paul deserved hell. That's what he deserved. He'd done terrible things. And God said, "You're the man I want for my mission." God loved Paul, didn't he? He forgave Paul. He gave Paul this incredible privilege. Now maybe you feel guilty. You feel you've done very bad things. I'm sure you haven't been as violent as Paul, but maybe you've done some bad things. God says to you what he said to Paul. You may become a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. but God will give you a gift of grace. But maybe you've always been rather well behaved. Perhaps you were brought up in a Christian home. You've never gone off the rails, and you're rather pleased with yourself. God says to you what he said to Paul. You may become a servant of the gospel by the gift of grace. Well, why do I need a gift of grace? I've earned my place in the church. I'm a long-standing church member. There's no one better than me. Well, maybe a few better than me. But I'm a good person. No. You too, I too, need grace. See, the standard is not keeping up with polite society. That's not the standard. The standard is the glory, the holiness, the majesty of God. Oh, when I appreciate God's glory, when I remember what he is like, then I see myself for what I am. I am a sinner. I am a sinner to the core of my being. I sin in thought and word and deed through negligence, through my own deliberate fault. I need God to say to me, you may become a servant of the gospel by a gift of grace. I need God's gift of grace. I wonder, have you received God's gift of grace? Sometimes people say to me, I'm too bad for God. God could never forgive me. Sometimes people say, I'm too good. I don't need grace. God wants you to receive his grace. No matter what you've done, he wants you to come in from the cold. Come into the warmth. Come into the warmth of God's love and his grace. Verse 7, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. God is powerful, you know. Did you know that? God is powerful. I've been working on Passion for Life. Passion for Life is a mission we're holding together with other local churches at the end of next April. We've got Roger Carswell coming as the main speaker, and we've booked 6 people to come and be interviewed about how they came to faith. We still need one more interviewee, if you know of anybody good. 6 people, hopefully 7, who will testify that they have experienced the grace and the power of God in their lives. The power of God to transform them. Where once they were in sin, in rebellion against God, now God has changed their hearts and their lives. One of our interviewees is Emma Sloan, used to be known as Emma Scrivener. She nearly died of anorexia. God has worked in her life by his power. She is now an author. She now speaks at the London Women's Convention and other places. This is the power of God. He sorts us out. Have you experienced the power of God for yourself? Can you see how once you were hopelessly lost in rebellion against God, and now God has worked in your life so that you love him? you serve him. And so, verse 8, Paul was the least of all God's people, less than the least, as if that could be possible. Apparently, it makes sense in the Greek to say less than the least. He was a terrible man, but grace and power were given him, and he was changed by God. So, it could happen to you too. Paul's apostleship was a gift of grace. Secondly, Paul's apostleship was to make plain the mystery. Remember the mystery being revealed this morning with the children? Verse 8. This grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I wonder what your purpose in life is. Might be family, might be career, might be sport or music. These are all good things. But look at Paul's purpose. To preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Last Sunday was Becca's parents' 40th wedding anniversary. There was a very posh lunch. And our old minister from Oxford, David Fletcher, Jonathan Fletcher's brother, said grace and was sitting at our table. He's now 80, and he and his wife are absolutely lovely. But what struck me was they haven't lost their purpose. David formally retired when he was about 68, and Vaughan Roberts took over as his successor. But David hasn't lost his purpose. His purpose, like Paul, is to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And David has gone on doing that. And that's how I want to be. I love my family. I love music and sport. I love doing fun things. But my purpose in life is to preach to all people the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I suggest to you that when our purpose in life is to make Christ known, everything else falls into place. We can love our family, but they're not our God. We can love our sport, but it's not a God. Jesus is God. We worship him. And then we enjoy the world he has made. Verse 9. Paul continues, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. It's God's world. We can enjoy it. Now, Paul is made an administrator or a steward of the mystery of the gospel. Paul is entrusted with the gospel. The gospel is a kind of mystery. It's revealed gradually, isn't it? As the Old Testament leads towards the New Testament, more and more is revealed. Until finally, Jesus comes. And then he explains the gospel to his apostles, his messengers, like Paul. For ages past, it was kept hidden in God. It was God's open secret. Verse 10, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. That's an amazing verse. I used to do a lot of open-air evangelism. Sometimes I would stand in the street and very few people would listen. Similarly, I've taken many services for less than 10 people. And you can get discouraged, you know, when you feel that no one is listening. But look who is listening. The rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. That means angels are listening. Angels are not like God. They don't know everything. They are like us. They need to be taught God's purposes. So whenever the Bible is taught, angels are listening. They're listening right now. And they're seeking to learn more of God's purposes from the Bible. One commentator famously says, "The church provides a graduate school for angels." Church is a graduate school for angels. At the same time, demons are listening. Demons are listening. And you know what's happening? They're getting depressed. As they learn about the sovereignty and the grace of God, maybe they flee away because they can't take anymore. Through the church, that's us, the manifold wisdom of God is made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ our Lord. There is Christ in all his glory, proclaimed to the world, proclaimed to the heavenlies, to the angels and the demons. The culmination of all of God's purposes. The Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you love him? Don't you want to serve him? Don't you want to make him known? Paul's apostleship was a gift of grace. Paul's apostleship was to make plain the mystery. And thirdly, Paul's apostleship was a life of suffering. Verse 12, in him and through faith in him, Christ, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We sang about it, didn't we, earlier? Bold I approach the eternal throne. Boldly I do it. Not embarrassedly, not shyly. Bold I approach. Through faith in Christ, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. When I was 18, I applied to university and my headmaster gave me a mock interview. I was very nervous. I stood outside his office, waiting to be called in, thinking, what's he going to ask me? Only at the end of the interview did the headmaster tell me that in my nervousness, I waggled my knees continuously through the whole interview. And apparently I looked quite ridiculous. I was grateful to him for pointing that out. Now I wonder, do you think of God as a headmaster? A scary figure. Look at verse 12. We may approach God with freedom and confidence. Prayer should be a joyful thing, shouldn't it? Worship should be joyful. We should smile in worship. Do you know that? Smiling's allowed in church. It's actually a good thing to smile when you're praising the Lord, enjoying him, approaching him with freedom and confidence. But that said, verse 13, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Because Paul suffers imprisonment, shipwreck, stoning, and so we could go on. Because Paul suffered His flock will make it to glory. Paul was prepared to suffer so that others might make it to glory. Think of those of our number who've died, knowing the Lord. They're in glory. Their suffering is over because someone taught them the gospel, even if that involved suffering. Even if that involved being laughed at or mocked or rejected. Someone was prepared to share with you the gospel so that you might know that you're going to glory. Paul's apostleship was a gift of grace. Grace is available, you know. It's available this morning. Grace is available to everyone who will believe. That's all. Believe. Have you received God's grace? Do you know that you've been forgiven? And you're right with God. And you're going to heaven. Paul's apostleship was to make plain the mystery. Have you understood the mystery of the gospel? If you're not clear, come and chat to me. Let's have a coffee and talk things through. Find you something you can read. Maybe do a Christianity Explored course. Really important to get clear the gospel, the mystery of the gospel. Really important to have it crystal clear in our minds. And then, will you make it plain to others? That's the deal. God gives you the gospel. God saves you so that you can share the gospel with others. And Paul's apostleship was a life of suffering. It wasn't easy. It was a life of suffering. He was suffering now for the sake of glory then. That's the choice that's on offer to us. Suffer now and enjoy glory with Christ for all eternity. Or choose the easy route now, avoid the suffering, but lose Christ for all eternity. Well, let's take a moment to make our own personal responses to God. What's God saying to you? Never mind me. What's God saying to you? You speak to him now and sort things out. Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he bore your wrath for our sin, that we might be forgiven. We thank you for the work of your Spirit, the mystery of godliness. Lord, please move us to love you and to serve you. And thank you for the joy of heaven. Thank you that Christ is risen and that one day we will be in glory with him, with all your people. So, Father, we give you our thanks and our praise, and we give our lives to you, and we pray that we will live for your honor and glory. Amen.